All right, welcome back to the Weekend Warrior Podcast. This is episode 20. That is 2-0. We're 1/5 of the way to our 100th episode, so we got that going for us. As always, it's Pat and Mike here with you. We're joined again by Artie Januario.
Hello.
Happy to have him on. He's our now, since this is his third time on, he is our most often recurring guest.
Let's go.
In our first 20 shows. So, and then we'll never talk to him ever again because he's moving to Texas. But nevertheless, Weekend Warrior Podcast is presented by WTP Sports. Wanted to give a big shout out to MDOT and Core for the intro song and also MDOT for the outro music as well. You can find MDOT on Instagram and Twitter at MDOT Boston. And he's also on Spotify, and his newest album, Ego and the Enemy, is on iTunes. And you can also find Core on Twitter at Core of EMS. And Core is with a K, so it's K-O-R-E of EMS. We are also on iTunes, so please subscribe to us on iTunes. Wherever you listen, we appreciate you listening. But especially on iTunes, we'd love it. We are on Stitcher. We're on Pod Paradise. We all have our own website. But iTunes is really the key for us. If you can leave us a review, that would be awesome. Subscribe and review. If you leave us a review, take a screenshot of that review and send us a DM or an email with your review. We'll send you some free stuff. So that would be cool. So do that if you can, please. Our email and Twitter are exactly the same. We'll start with the email. Our email is weekendwarpod. So it's no E's in weekend, WKNDWARPOD @gmail.com. And our Twitter handle is the same, @ Weekend War Pod. Again, no E's in weekend, so it's @ WKNDWARPOD. So you can email us, you can tweet us, or perhaps you're a loser who works as a janitor at MIT and you solve ridiculously hard math problems for fun. And that gets you noticed by some really famous people. Now, when I say famous, we understand it's just like mathematically famous, not really famous, but you get the idea. They hook you up with us because they know you need to talk about a few things. At first, you're not sure if you can trust us. You're worried we're like everyone else that you've listened to, that we won't tell you how we really feel, or you won't get the whole story because, it might not be the popular opinion. But we're going to show you that we're the people you need to be listened to the most. We are the ones that can figure out your real problems, like whether or not you should be worried about the Patriots. Why you won't let anyone get close to you and push them all away. Eventually, after you realize that we are, in fact, the people you need to listen to, you'll leave your quote-unquote comfortable past behind and do what you really meant to do. Don't follow the drones and people who think they know what's best for you. Listen to us, who will always be true and won't lie about anything to earn your trust or get ratings. Felgen Mess. As you figure this out, you leave us a simple, heartfelt letter, and that will leave us smiling. Goodwill Hunting today, as you can tell. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. Yeah, and every time I watch it, I'm like, holy shit, that movie's good.
Yeah.
Every time. There's like scenes that I forget every time, and then I watch it again and I'm like, oh my god, dude, that scene's unbelievable, or this scene's unbelievable, or that line's unbelievable. And then, it's unbelievable. So well written, so amazing, so wonderfully acted. Robin Williams is so good. Great soundtrack. It's got everything. So if you haven't watched it in a while, watch it. Let's get right into it. So I'm gonna go on a limb here and say I might have been wrong by saying the Patriots are gonna go 19-0. I think
just slightly.
That's probably not gonna happen.
How funny would it be if they went 18-1 now?
Wouldn't that be wild?
Just ran the table.
Wouldn't that be insane? If they just like won all the game, everyone was like, "Oh, it was 19-0," and everyone was talking shit, and the Patriots just fucking ran the table. That would be insane. But it probably won't happen. But you know, you never know.
Well, they're getting new turf.
Good That's point.
The thing. They lost.
That was so the problem.
Undefeated on that turf.
That's a good point. Yeah. They've never lost on that turf.
Right.
Yeah. So I mean, so, you know, they got
that. Imagine how fast Kareem Hunt would have been if he was on the good turf.
That's a good point.
Mm. You know,
it's a good point. Maybe it's slower turf.
Yeah,
it's possible.
Could be,
right, because they don't have as much speed as other teams. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Although that's not true at all. But either way, you know, you get the idea.
Bring out the real grass.
So, yeah, you know what's interesting is that, and we'll talk about players getting injured, but there was never as many injuries when there was real grass, I feel like. Right? At least knee injuries. I don't feel like there was many knee injuries when it was real grass.
I think maybe because it was a slower track and there's, you know.
Right?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
There's not such violent cuts. It's
right.
Just, you're just moving slower,
yeah.
You
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
So I guess you're less apt to get injured that
yeah.
way. But
I don't know. But either way.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, an absolute shit fest of a game from the Patriots. Just, and honestly, I would say from start to finish, but it really wasn't from start to finish. I mean, they were leading at the beginning of the fourth quarter. They were leading.
Yeah.
And they gave up 21 points in the fourth and looked terrible.
Even when they were down 35-27, I thought, oh yeah, well, the comeback's coming.
Right.
You know, and I just thought it was going to click at some point, and it just didn't. And then they scored the other touchdown, and it was like, oh,
yeah.
This is bad.
No, it never did. Yeah. And that's, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, horrible game. I think part of it is that they were reading their own press clippings. I mean, I don't know how you could look at it any other way.
Yeah.
Right? Belichick came out and said their attitude wasn't good. Brady came out and said their attitude wasn't good. You know, so clearly their attitude wasn't in it. And, you know, a lot of people compared it to the last time they played the Chiefs, which was in 2014, which is, you know, the Brady's dead game and everything like that. But Belichick had said, you know, after that game or after that season that he really saw something in his team because they were getting the shit kicked out of him and they never quit. And it really felt like Thursday night, they just fucking gave up.
Yeah.
Looking at you, Marcus Cannon.
It was bad. It was bad. And, you know, and that's so it's, you know, it's tough. And
I think the play that killed them was when they didn't get that second, fourth, and one. It was just,
yeah.
That's such a kick in the nuts.
Well, and I think the play calling there was horrendous.
Well, the play calling whole game was awful.
I mean, you know, it's just common sense. The defense puts all their guys in the middle of the field.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe don't run in the middle of the field.
Right.
Like, I feel like that's kind of common sense, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, maybe that's just...
Yeah, Josh tried to be cute the whole game. Was, let's sprinkle this guy in. Well,
right.
Yeah, White's working, but Burkhead hasn't gotten the ball yet. And, oh, let's show off our shiny new toys and whip it downfield. And it was just... just stick with what works.
Statement loss?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I just feel like, you know, it was bad. It was really bad. And it's as bad as it's going to get. And I think people are expecting now the Patriots to come back because they're not going to count the Patriots out. After 2014, you can't count the Patriots out. After 2014, and then after the Super Bowl last year, are you shitting me when they're down 28-3? So it was just like, you know, people on Twitter, Patriots are down 14, and they're like, Patriots are fine. You know, or the Patriots are down, not when they were down 14, when they were down 8, it was like, yeah, they're fine. Don't worry about it. They'll win. You know, and it's just like, they didn't. But, you know, That's the expectation now.
Yeah.
So if they come out and blow doors this weekend, which I think they could, I don't know whether they will or not, but they certainly could. You know, if they do that, then people are going to look at it and say, yep, same old Patriots, no big deal. It's just a little speed bump. They'll be fine. You know, so I think it's potentially glossing over some real issues. Honestly, for me, I'm not as concerned as a lot of people are. I'm really not. I think defensively, look at the two big plays they gave up, right? One of them, you had Cassius March, who's a freaking defensive end, one-on-one against Kareem Hunt with no safety help over the top.
Does he get that eye black at Hot Topic? Like, what is that whole thing?
I think he does.
Crosses under his eyes.
I think he does.
Like,
wasn't
what
that? Didn't, like, Chris Hogan used to do that? Not Chris
I don't
Hogan.
Know,
not Chris Hogan. Idiot.
Chris Long?
No. Well, Chris Long did it, but then who was the Hogan kid
like
that played at BC? The defensive tackle. I can't think of his name, dude.
Oh, a
long time ago. No,
yeah.
This is a long time ago. He played DN, right? You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I think his name was Hogan. But anyways,
God.
His like entire face was black. Yeah. It was like ridiculous, you know?
John Randall used to do
so,
that too.
Right. And so, you know, whatever. He could do whatever the hell he wants, but
and then the second play was just pure miscommunication.
Well, and that's McCourty screwed it up. It was a cover two.
McCourty went to the wrong, yeah.
Right.
1,000%.
Right. And you know, you people look, oh, look at Gilmore, look at Gilmore.
Gilmore passed him off and there was nobody there.
Right. Gilmore's playing a soft zone and he lets him go. He clearly doesn't run with him.
He could have maybe carried him a little bit further, but that's 90% on McCourty.
Right. And if that's a cover two, then it's there's a good chance that he has the flat anyways. Mm-hmm. So if he has the flat, he can't stay with him too far because if that someone jumps in the flat. So you know, you get rid of those two plays. Number one, from coaching it up, and number two, from not calling a ridiculously terrible offense, ridiculously terrible defense in that play, you know, all of a sudden now we're talking about the Patriots within a point, right? Which, again, I mean, you know, let's be serious. It doesn't matter what the fuck happened. They weren't winning that game. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. But from the outcome right now, there's no chance they would have won that game. I'm not saying they would have, but, you know, you take away those two big plays, and all of a sudden it doesn't look quite as bad. So, you know, Alex Smith threw for, what, 350 against them? Yeah. So now all of a sudden it's down to 200. Mm-hmm. No, you know what I mean? So it's like a little bit of a different story.
What was the deal with Brady?
He was fucking terrible. That was the deal with Brady. Yeah. He was just off all night long.
And he was missing guys. I am a little worried. He only had a couple of balls where he really zipped it in. The Gronk touchdown got called back, and there was another one to Cook, so it had some real zip on it.
Right.
Oh, I hope it's not like a age thing, because he was lofting a lot of passes.
Yeah, let's, yeah,
that first pass let's that. To Dwayne Allen was
ugly. Ugly. Mm-hmm. And people said Dwayne Allen could have made a better planner. I'm sorry.
I don't think so.
There's no freaking chance. No way. If you blame that on Dwayne Allen, you're an idiot. Mm-hmm. I mean, that ball is going out of bounds. He would have had that would have been a sensational catch by Dwayne Allen. Yeah. So that, to me, is all on Brady.
Yeah, his reads were off all night, and he wasn't checking out a play as the line of scrimmage, and he was trying to turn Cooks into Randy Moss, which is exactly what they shouldn't do.
Right.
He was just off, man. He has some of those games where he plays like, you know, a C+, and
it's usually just early in the year too.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It'll be like against Miami or against Kansas City. He's done it before. I think the offense is going to be fine. I think they have enough pieces where it is just they got a stable. They still do. I think.
Right.
I think they got away from James White a little too much. I think they got away from Burkhead too early. Use the running backs, split them out, you know, bring out two, even three running backs at a time. That's going to be, I mean, they've proven that they can use those guys on important third down plays. Because everybody's asking, you know, where's the Edelman replacement going to come from on third down, this and that. Shane Vereen in the Super Bowl. Right. James White in the Super Bowl. They've done it. They get mismatches with running backs out in the flat, and it works.
Right.
I mean, I know there's going to be defenses that can do it, but I think this week they're going to be okay because, I mean, New Orleans has nobody that can flood the middle of the field. So,
I think a big issue is as we talked about, was the play calling.
Yeah,
50%, almost 50% of Brady's attempts were 15 yards downfield. That's just inexcusable. I mean, that can't happen with Brady, and especially you got a lot of speed. Now, maybe Dorsett and Cooks do not like going over the middle, so run them across the middle of the field.
Mm-hmm.
They were playing man, and the Patriots are having a hard time getting away from man, and I understand that. So maybe they couldn't separate on the deep passes. And they could separate a few times, and they weren't open. But they had a guy, you know, safety over the top with man coverage. Well, run Cooks across the field. Nobody, no one in the league is sticking with Brandon Cooks running across the field. Mm-hmm. Nobody. So if you run Brandon Cooks across the field consistently, guess what? Defense can't play man. They have to switch the zone. Brady eats zone alive. So if you make them switch to zone, now all of a sudden Brady carves the defense up and we're moving, right? So it's just like if you let them stay in man, you're screwed. Don't fucking throw the ball downfield. It's not 2007. You're not trying to pick up big chunk plays on every single play.
Not only that, I mean, those huge bombs downfield, that's timing too. That's guys running and getting under it, and those they're not used to each other yet.
Right.
So that was what was weird to me is run your offense to start and then develop that rapport and maybe break that out late in the season, but don't be whipping it 50 yards downfield, you know? He had that one to Cooks that was unbelievable, but
beyond that.
Yeah, and it's never been Brady's game. I love the guy, but he just can't throw downfield.
Right.
And doesn't Gronkowski just look like he's just one hit away from being done.
I thought Gronk. He was out the first hit.
Gronk's always. Yeah. Gronk's always.
People didn't see him. He pointed his ribs. Yeah. He was touched down, right? Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. He fell on the ball. And he was just, yeah.
Landed on the ball and lost his win. But yeah, it's scary, dude. I mean, he's like the glass man from Unbreakable. It's like, it's terrifying, you know?
That TB12 diet where he feels leaner and meaner. I don't know how much that's going to work for him.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. But I'll tell you what, man. The Patriots, thankfully, were not the only team to play like shit the first week. Holy crap. I mean, there was some really fucking terrible games.
It was a weird week, man.
The Indianapolis Colts could be the worst team in the history of football after that fucking performance, dude.
My boy Jacoby's going to lead them to the playoffs.
That was dude, first pass attempt of the season was a pick six.
Yes, it was.
Yeesh.
And then he came back with a touchdown. I'm telling you. Oh. He's going to be all right.
Ugly. So, no, not Brissett's first best. Maybe Brissett's first best attempt. Tolzien's first. Indianapolis Colts' first pass attempt.
Brissett would never throw a pick six on his first pass. Come on.
Hand it off.
Yeah, that way for at least his fifth. Passing touchdown.
That's true.
Really, man. Brissett's my dude.
Yeah, so Brissett legitimately should be their quarterback, whether he is or not. Who knows? We'll see, but he should be. But there were a lot of weird games. The Seattle game I thought was bizarre. Seattle couldn't move the ball at all.
Yeah.
Which isn't good for me. I made a $20 bet with Tom saying that Russell Wilson would be a top five fantasy quarterback.
Oops.
Doesn't look too good right now. So let's see what happens.
Green Bay's defense stinks, too.
Yeah, they do. So it's bizarre. So we'll see what happens. See if they can get them into a little bit of a rhythm. But some of the teams did not look great.
The Browns almost beat the Steelers.
I'll tell you what, man. Real close. Right? I mean, it's like, you know, and Kaiser showed some good poise and stuff, but, I mean,
and I think the that Browns? Gives me, I think that gives me some comfort as a Patriots fan, too, is Houston got destroyed on their surprised. Own field.
That was bad.
Pittsburgh almost lost.
Right.
You know, the quote-unquote class of the AFC. I mean, Tennessee lost to Oakland.
Right.
Which was
a good game.
It was a good game.
You know, Oakland's a good team. And
Denver
so
didn't look great.
Tennessee, right.
You know, Denver could barely hang on against San
Diego. I mean, Denver was killing them. Denver was killing them. The Chargers. The Chargers.
San Diego.
That's what we do on the show. Yeah. This show, the Chargers are San Diego, yes. And that's all.
To the ref, it was San Diego, but you know too. You see that?
That's true.
Yeah.
Time out San Diego.
Their main... I guess competition in the AFC didn't look great either.
No. You're right.
So it's not. I'm not chicken littling this season just yet.
Right.
You know?
And I don't think. Nor should you be.
Right.
Put you that way. So
that's a huge loss, obviously. But I mean, to lose to Kansas City at the end of the year, it's going to be them in Kansas City.
I was going to say. Yeah. Better hope not. Yeah. That's going to.
Well,
suck.
I mean, that's the biggest thing, right? It's like what happened a few years ago when you lost to Denver and you finished with the same record and you played in Denver. You do not want to go into Kansas City.
Lord.
And look, we were talking about big losses. There were a lot of big injury losses, and one of them was on the Chiefs. And so I feel like, for me, the Chiefs, you know, lost Eric Berry for the year. He's done. Mm-hmm. That's a huge loss for Kansas City.
That's a conference-changing injury.
Yes. And so that could move them from, you know, potentially 13-3 to 11-5.
Yeah.
And that could give him two more losses, and then now all of a sudden it doesn't matter with the Patriots. So, you know, we'll see what happens there, but that's a big loss. Danny Woodhead, shockingly, I know you're shocked by this news. Danny Woodhead went down. You know, everyone's got to love Danny Woodhead, right? But it's just like, shit, man. You know, I mean, every year.
I thought he was going to be a good little binky for Flacco this year.
Well, dude, he was playing well.
Right.
And then he went out with the hamstring. The hamstring's been bothering
him. I thought he was going to do big things.
All camp.
And, yeah, that sucks.
So, but he's only out 6-8, so he might come back at some point and still be all right. But at that point, Baltimore already be out of the playoffs anyways. So, telling you, they suck this year. David Johnson went down, which was not good. He was placed on IR. He'll probably come back, they said, anywhere between 8 and 12 weeks, which fantasy-wise is just fucking killer. That's just a killer. So, I have him on my fantasy team. I'm one of those guys. That's me. And it didn't work out too well. However, I do also have Zeke Elliott, so I should be all right because he didn't get suspended. Because he didn't deflate footballs. Yeah. If he had deflated footballs, he'd be fucked.
Don't get me started.
But he just beat his girlfriend. It's no big deal. And by the way, Sunday night football. After the Brady incident, all they talked about for a year and a half was Brady and the footballs. He was on Sunday Night Football, playing on Sunday Night Football. They never brought up any of that stuff once. Not one time did they bring it up. Not
they
once.
Brought it up once.
What?
I think they brought it up once.
I didn't hear it once. Maybe you're right, but I didn't.
On your fantasy team.
Yep.
Like. What happens? Like, that sucks because now, like,
it does suck, doesn't it? Well, you know what's even worse, right?
You put all that money into it.
It's brutal. Right. So what's even worse is I have fucking Allen Robinson in all four of my teams. He's done for the year, too. That sucks. But the good news is I'm not an idiot. I signed up for RotoSurance before the year. RotoSurance is insurance for your fantasy football team. I mean, like, it's the greatest idea of all time. If you have a David Johnson on your team and you're in a league that's more than $50, you're probably saying right now, God damn it, what the hell do I do with myself? If you had signed up for RotoSurance, you'd be getting your money back. That's right. I have Allen Robinson in all four of my leagues. I have $120 worth of dues. That's total out of all four leagues. I'm getting that money back. I'm getting all of that money back. I'm playing fantasy football for free this year because I took out a policy on Allen Robinson and he got hurt.
I think next year I'm just going to start picking really injury-prone guys. That's it, dude. Shit. Taking out policies and oops.
Mine as well, right?
Playing for free.
And how about this? Now, I didn't take out a policy on David Johnson. Is that and I wish I had.
Insurance fraud or is that?
Well, right. Well, now, listen. It could have been. So now here's the thing, right? If I had taken out a policy on David Johnson and he, because he obviously got hurt as well, then I would have gotten double. I would have gotten back more money than I actually paid for fantasy football this year. Yeah. What? What? That's ridiculous. So anyways, rotoassurance.com. Use the promo code WWP. You get 20% off. You can still take out season-long policies until Sunday. So before games start on Sunday, you can still take out season-long policies. Promo code WWP on rotoassurance.com. Get your money back. I'm playing fantasy for free this year. Maybe you'll join me. You never know. So that's that. So let's do a preview of week two. There's a few good games out there. There's not a ton, but there's a few that are pretty solid out there.
There's a few that stand out.
You know, I think the Sunday night game, right? Who's playing Sunday night again?
The Falcons and the Packers.
Falcons-Packers.
First game in Atlanta.
First game in the Mercedes-Benz, Georgia Dome, whatever the hell it's called now.
That could be a track meet.
That should absolutely be a track meet. Mm-hmm. I think Bears and Bucks are playing in Tampa, right?
That'll be
after the storm and stuff. Yeah. So that'll be interesting to see what happens there. So
Patriots-Saints,
clearly. Let's keep going. We'll say, what was it, one more game there that looks pretty good?
The Cowboys and the Broncos, Cowboys-Broncos. In Denver at 425.
Ooh, okay, all right.
Yeah, that'll probably Broncos.
That'll probably be the game of the week right there. Go Broncos. Hell no. No.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, you're a Redskin fan, I forgot.
Yeah.
So, see, Mike's on the other side of this wanting the Cowboys. Now, he's not rooting for the Broncos. He's rooting against the Cowboys.
Right, yeah.
I'm not rooting for the Cowboys. I'm rooting against the Broncos. So, it's a little bit of a different thing here. Mm-hmm. We don't like either team. We actually hate both teams. But, like, I'm just
praying for injury in that game.
Oh, shit.
Zeke Elliott.
That's just rude.
Get off the field.
That's just rude.
Zeke Elliott,
I should take out a policy on Zeke.
That's bad karma. We had to think with karma in this show.
That's true.
Oh, that's very true. I guess. I know.
That is very bad karma. That's a good point. Maybe, yeah. Okay, so let's see. Now, listen, here's what I'll tell you, okay? We did have Cousin Evan on the show. Cousin Evan gives you a pick of the week every week, and it's on me. I apologize. Week one, I fucked up. I did. He gave me his pick. I didn't give it to you. I didn't pass it along. His pick was the Rams. The Rams won at like 97-2, I think was the final score.
Yeah.
And we blew that, dude. And I apologize. You could be rich right now, and you're not. Unfortunately, you're probably sitting in your cubicle right now, hating your life, thinking, God damn it, Pat, if you had just freaking told me to bet the Rams last week,
I'd be rich right now. Famer, so
I do apologize about that. That's my bet. Although I will tell you, he did say pick the Rams at 25-1 to win the Super Bowl before the season, and he thinks that they're going to win the NFC West. How about that for a fucking hot take?
He did say that. That's right.
So, you know, you never know. So maybe if you had used your skills of deduction, you should have bet for the Rams anyways. But we're not, you know, we don't want to give you too much credit here.
Gambling is illegal.
Good point. It is. No, it isn't.
Kind of. Illegal if you get caught.
Right. Good point.
That's true.
Or you just go to Vegas. Or do it online. You know what I mean? And look, it might be illegal, but if you go to mybookie.ag, it's not illegal. How about that? Okay?
Really?
Yeah. No. Explain. Yeah. Okay, so mybookie.ag, you can go to mybookie.ag. You can make bets on all the games. You can make bets on games in progress. How about that?
Can I make bets on games that already happened?
You can't do that. No, that'd be nice, but you cannot do that, unfortunately.
Okay?
That's how Pete Rose got caught.
My bookie that... you know that game that happened last night? I want to bet on that game. I think we're going to lose. So, mybookie.ag, they have the fastest payouts, I believe,
48 online. Hours.
48 yeah. hours, within 48 wow. hours, you want your money. I want my money, and I want it now, or whatever, however the hell that thing goes.
Money me.
Rotosurance.ag. Use the promo code WARRIOR. They'll give you 100% of what you put in. 100% of your deposit. They double your money. You'll have 200% of the money you put in. 200%. That's a shitload of percents.
It feels like we're just giving people free money this week.
I know, dude. And, like, this is the thing. You gotta love us, man.
We're men of the people.
We're giving you money from RotoSurance. Yeah. We're giving you money from mybookie.ag. Like, this is what we're doing. We're providing services for the people, okay? So, that's what we're doing. We're providing you a service. Mybookie.ag, promo code WARRIOR. Get 100% of your deposit back. All right? So, Rams, you should have picked last week, but you didn't. I apologize. You can't do that. Don't pick them this week.
Yeah.
No, who are they playing this week?
The Redskins.
Oh, shit. Okay, you think they're going to lose.
It's in L.A.
It's in L.A. I mean, those 4,000 fans, dude, gives them a serious competitive advantage.
Yeah, 3,000 are Redskins fans.
That's a good point. So, yes. Okay, so the Rams, maybe don't pick them this week. However, Cousin Evan does have a lock of the week, and I'm giving it to you. This is, I'm actually doing it for you, so maybe don't put the mortgage on this one. But, like, you know, go out and bet it. Go to mybookie.ag, put in the promo code WARRIOR, put in as much money as you want, and bet the Pats -6.5 this week in New Orleans. That's the lock of the week. Lock it down. I'm going to tell you right here, right now, it's a 100% guarantee they're going to win. Now, I'm not going to go out as far as Evan is and make it he's calling it his lock of the week at -6.5.
I think you can make it more of a lock than what you just said.
I'm not going to tell you they're going to cover, okay? He's going to tell you they're going to cover. But I'm going to tell you right now, 100% guarantee the Patriots will win this game. And I wouldn't be surprised if they covered either. If you're betting, bet on that. If you can bet the Patriots even, shit, dude. I mean, put the fucking house on that thing. I'm telling you. Patriots are winning.
34-24 Patriots.
Could be, right? And there's your cover right there. So I think they're gonna win. They will not go 0-2. They have never gone 0-2 with Tom Brady as a starting quarterback. It's never happened. The last time they went 0-2 was in 2001, and Drew Bledsoe was a starter. Thank you very much. Tom Brady was not. They've never gone 0-2 with Brady as a starter. They will not go 0-2 this year. You can write that down, put it down, and you can replay this shit if I'm wrong, but I'm not going to be wrong.
They're going 0-2.
Of course you'd say that, Mike. Of course you would.
On the road, they've never played well against the Saints in New Orleans.
Yeah, but that's like once.
I know, and they didn't play well. So,
I suppose that's true. Trend. Well, what happened the last time? The last time they did that was in 0... I don't even know when the hell the last time they played him in 09. And I don't know the time before that when they played him. Would have been 8 years earlier, which is 01, but I don't think they played him in 01. They hadn't done the realignment yet, right? Yeah. So I don't know when the last time they played him in New Orleans before 09 was.
It looks like a tough game.
It does look like a tough game.
New Orleans home opener, they played like trash the other night.
You're right about that. Patriots have a long week. Saints have a short week. I was concerned about this game before the season started. Mm-hmm. But they lost the first game of the season. Belichick's going to be all over them for a week. There's no chance they lose this game.
Sucks.
The defense, I'm telling you, man.
Is Hightower playing?
I don't know.
That's the scary
part. Hightower is a concern for me. I think the front seven's a concern. I don't think the defensive line is a concern. I don't think the D-line's a concern.
The linebacker's been thin all year.
The D-line they have, they're fine. Linebacker is the concern. I'm worried about the depth at linebacker a little bit. And here's the thing, right? The Saints are a matchup problem for the Patriots, just like Kansas City is, because they will run out of a pass set.
Yes.
And if you put a pass set on the field, the Patriots don't want David Harrison or Landon Roberts on the field because they don't want them covering. But the problem is those are your two best run-stuffing linebackers. So if the D-line does their job and fills their gaps, you need the linebackers to fill their gaps too. And if the linebackers don't, then you're in trouble. And so I think that might be an issue for the Patriots, but I really think they're going to figure that out because they were exposed so badly last week on that I think they figure that out and they look at that and say, whoa, we totally screwed that up. We need to scheme this differently and we'll be able to stop the run. Or they just say, screw it. Let them beat us on the run. I don't give a shit. What the difference does it make?
It was like Denver a few years ago where they gave 200 yards. Go ahead. What's his face?
Run.
There.
Yeah, you want to run? Go. Run. Yeah. Great. No Sean Moreno? Great. Run for 200 yards. Nobody cares.
Crying on the sidelines.
We're still going to win.
Slow-mo. That was awesome.
Right?
Common misconception about the Saints, too, is that they're, you know, an air it out, bomb it downfield offense. Like, yeah, they have the splash plays, but they do like to run the ball.
Right.
So right. I think the Patriots got to be careful about
up,
that.
They picked up Adrian Peterson, as you can see, that went swimmingly the first week.
That's going
great.
But, you know, who knows?
But they...
He'll be a Jet by week six.
You know, I think the Patriots, like I've been saying, the offense is going to be okay. They got enough on offense.
Defensively, he's concerned. I understand that, but...
Against a gunslinger.
Yeah, I think like the... I think
it's
the,
true. I mean, I understand, but I still think
secondary is a top... three or four unit.
Yeah.
I think defensive line's really strong. Linebacker's going to be thin, but I think they'll be okay. Man.
I think they've got to figure out how to use the corners that you have. I mean, you have two elite cover corners, and you should be using them that way. You should be playing man. You should be playing doing all that stuff and not playing soft cover two. I mean, here's one thing about Belichick. First 4 weeks of the season, he uses the first 4 weeks – to analyze what he has and see what he has. And so he's not going to throw anything too crazy into the mix. You're playing essentially a high school offense in Kansas City. Kansas City's a high school offense. They run the fucking triple wing. They run the wishbone. They're running options here and there. They got guys coming out of
shovel
the backfield.
Shovel
passes. It's like, what the fuck is going on, dude? So you need to come
little,
up.
I'm sorry. They did a little wildcat, too.
They did. And so
Kelsey, a quarterback.
Dude, it's like insane, right? They have all this shit going on. And so... to me, you can't come up with a vanilla defense against that. And that's exactly what the Patriots did, because they don't like to go any more than vanilla the first 4 weeks, because Bill doesn't typically like to do that. But, you know, he needed to against Kansas City. He probably needs to this week again against New Orleans. So hopefully he figures that out and says, okay, we got to throw a few more things in here. Even if I'm not totally sure these guys are going to do it, you know, we'll see. So... I think we'll see what happens, but I think they'll be all right.
Because, you know, New Orleans is going to come out flying. First home game, awful loss, AP's first game in the Dome. So there's going to be a ton of energy. If they can weather the first 10 minutes or so and still hold their ground and, you know, either be up or, you know, be down by three, then I think they'll be okay.
Yeah.
But they got to really...
Well, if they get down 14, they're in trouble.
They got to ride out that first wave, and if they do, I think they're fine.
Right. Yeah, so one thing that we started last week that I want to continue doing this week is the play you missed. And so I have two this week. We have two this week that plays that you missed, and they actually both happened in the first quarter of the game last week. It is the Patriots game last week. Both happened in the first quarter, and I think both of the plays were a little bit overlooked and weren't really talked about at all. One of them actually was talked about a lot, but for the wrong reason. So let's break it down for you. I will go chronologically, as we are wont to do. That was want, W-O-N-T, not W-A-N-T. Anyways, okay. So anyways, a second drive. On the second drive of the game, Patriots scored in the first possession, strip Kareem Hunt on his first carry in the NFL, get the ball back. They're driving down the field. You got Danny Amendola. Now, Gronk had just dropped the touchdown pass. By the way, if you watch that play again and you watch it from a few different angles, I'm not sure that ball hit the ground. I'm not sure that ball hit the ground. I think it did, but I'm not sure. The last angle, so not the first two angles, looked pretty bad. The last angle, it looks like he has his hand underneath it. And you can't really tell.
That's how... there was an angle where I was convinced he had his left hand under it. But then I saw another one. I was like, oh, he dropped it.
Yeah, I don't know, man. But the problem is that if it's inconclusive, it's supposed to stay the call on the field, which was touchdown.
Yeah, Ty should go to the
corner. And so, to me, if that... now, maybe it wasn't. Maybe the other side, you look at it and you say it's clearly on the ground. But I don't know. If that hand's underneath it and it's not... I don't know. But either way, regardless of whether that was a catch or not,
shouldn't
give
it to him
difference.
For the effort alone.
Yeah, why not, right? What the hell? So, so the next play, the play after that, it was third and six, I believe, because it was there was a penalty on the play, so it went to third and six, and they hit Amendola over the middle, and Amendola catches the ball at I think he had to get to the nine. And he's at the 10, he caught it. And he's leaning forward to get the first down. And as he's leaning forward to get the first down, clearly going to have it, safety comes up and just buries him. And makes a great tackle. And I'm not even, I think it was 39 who made the play. It was a hell of a play. It was a fantastic play. And it prevented Amendola from getting the first down, which should have been an easy first down. And prevented Amendola from getting the first down. Obviously, the Patriots don't get the first down. And the Chiefs go back and score. Okay, so now it's 7-7. On the very next possession, again, They're driving down the other side of the field. Now it's second down. They run a toss play to James White. James White runs a toss to the left. Whoa. Gronk seals the end perfectly. Amendola blocks the corner. It's like beautiful. Wide open. Nate Solder runs around the edge. Stands there waiting for someone. His guy that he's supposed to block runs right the fuck by him. Right by him. He just fucking waved at him on the way by. Like, are you shitting me? Mm-hmm. Now, James White stiff-armed that guy to the moon, for Christ's sake. Like, stiff-armed him 6 feet down into the ground.
Yeah, he sent him to China, okay? Basically.
Which is great, and people were like, oh my God, look at that stiff arm. But he was short of the first down. They went for it on third and one. They didn't get it. They kicked the field goal. Now it's 10-7. If Solder makes that block, James White scores, and it's 14-7. It's a whole different ballgame.
They had a lot of opportunities to put that game away.
And that's the thing, dude. Those first three drives, they drove the ball, drove the ball, drove the ball, drove the ball. If Amendola picks up that first down on the first play that I talked about, Patriots probably score, and it's 14-0.
The route's on.
And look out. Right?
What was the deal with the running into the kicker?
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, Christ.
That was awful.
I wish I was a fly on the wall to see Patrick in the stadium when that happened.
I lost.
You couldn't hear him on the broadcast?
Dude, I lost.
I thought I picked it up.
I lost my freaking mind. Because here's the thing.
That was your end zone.
That was my end zone. So I'm standing there watching him, and I'm like, the first guy runs in, and I'm like, oh my God, let it just be running. Let it be running the kicker. Please, please, please. And thank God it was running in the kicker. And thank God it was fourth and 11. Or 4th and 12. Fourth and 12. And it wasn't 4th and 10.
I might be an idiot, but I thought that was a 10-yard penalty.
No, that's 5 yards.
It's 5 yards? Yes. Not an automatic first down?
No.
I thought that was an automatic first down.
No, roughing the kicker is a 15-yard automatic first down.
Okay.
So running into the kicker is a 5-yard penalty. So the first one, I'm like, okay, is running into the kicker, like, that was stupid. But, like, let's not do that again, please. Then they run the same fucking play.
I couldn't believe
it. And he buries him, dude. And I'm like... Why are you shitting me?
Dude,
I have no idea. The first time, I get it, fine. But the second time, just let it go.
Yeah.
Let him go. So he does it again, and I'm convinced on that second one, and I still haven't watched the actual replay of it. I was convinced that it was roughing the kicker on that one. Because that guy went flying when he hit him.
His foot was like in his head.
Yeah. So somebody said to me that he got him. He clipped his foot, but his foot was in the air and he was in the air. So it looked worse than it really was. I don't know. I didn't see it on TV. I know is when I'm in the end zone behind it, that guy went fucking flying. And I'm thinking like, holy shit.
Got crushed.
15 yards. So then it's 5 again. So now it's 4th and 2. So they punt again. And again they almost ran into him. And I'm like, are you shitting me right now? Like, that was
that's
the only
a certain
side.
Kind of stupid, man. That
that's
was
the
so
only fun. Side that you needed to see. That's the only sign that I needed to see. I'm like, all right, Patriots aren't ready. They're not ready. They're not ready to play tonight. They were coached bad. You could tell that the coaching wasn't right there because that happens twice in a row. Twice in a row. Mm. And then on the last drive, when the Patriots are calling timeout because Bill's like, fuck this. You're showing me something. Like, he's like, Brady, you're going back out there. We're going to get the ball back, and you're going back out there, and you're going to show me a damn drive before the end of this game. And then they get 12 guys on the field on third and five.
How brutal.
I was like, are you
that?
Kidding me now?
Yeah.
So they gave him another first down, and it was like, and that was the game. Like it was that. Just like, you know, so stuff like that where it was like, and I get that there are some, you know, it's early, and there are rookies, and that one in particular was on Dietrich Weiss, who was a rookie who looked ridiculously good, and I'll talk about that in a second, but... you know, it just to me, it was like they're not prepared. They weren't prepared mentally. They weren't prepared physically. You know, so there were mistakes all over the field. So I would assume that that stuff will be cleaned up. I would think. You know, and we'll see. But I would think that that's Bill's really typically very good at doing that. So we'll see what happens.
They're
so.
42-6 after a loss.
Yeah,
under Belichick,
it's pretty good. It's okay. Yeah. So I mean, how about he's only lost 48 games?
That in and of itself.
You think about that, dude, and you're like, what? Mm. So, and I guess they're not counting playoffs there. So, you know, he's lost more than 48 games, but it's not much more. Mm. So that's that. I will say, Dietrich Weiss, on a positive note, Dietrich Weiss was a monster. And there was another, I guess I can call it a play you missed, I guess. It's the one where the ball went through Pat Chung's hand and Tyreek Hill caught it, right?
Yeah.
On that play, Weiss got double teamed. And he took both guys into the backfield and it just hanging on for dear life.
Yeah.
and he just drove. He looked like a freaking animal with both guys hanging on to either arm, and he's just driving them back into the quarterback. And he hit Smith when he threw it.
He could be a real diamond in the rough there.
And so, you know, we'll see what happens.
I thought McCourty had a good game, too. I mean, he obviously,
other than that terrible play, but, you know.
But I thought he was all over the field, other than that.
Yeah. So we'll see. I will say one quick thing about the celebration. The celebration was fucking terrible. Absolutely.
It was so bad.
Absolutely.
I watched it on my computer. I was atrocious.
It was just. It was boring and bland. Although I will say, I gave a little quick shout out here to Matt Hoffman, who is Middle Urinal, so you can listen to these guys as well. Their WTP show as well. Middle Urinal. He said, honestly, he's not even a Patriots fan. I don't think he's even a Patriots fan. Pats don't celebrate. They don't celebrate. They just win and move on. Yeah, we won. Whatever. Move on. So, yeah, I guess you can spin zone it that way, but I don't know.
But they've had bigger celebrations in this.
It was bad. It was really bad. Well, you know,
I think we've mentioned on this show before, like, Mark Wahlberg needs to be included in any
My hatred for Mark Wahlberg. That's just, knows
that whole family can piss off.
We talked about it last week.
Yep.
That guy stinks. His burgers suck. Get off my field. He called Kevin Falk a former Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So
I heard he called Kevin Falk a former Super Bowl?
Yep. No champion, just Kevin Falk, former Super Bowl.
Super Bowl Kevin Falk.
Ugh.
Yep.
He's so,
what a shitbag that guy.
I mean,
that's like Super Bowl 47. That's a former Super Bowl. That's not a Super Bowl anymore. The previous 51.
Yeah.
Oh, God. That guy, man. Yeah, so anyways. Yeah, the long and short of it is that the entire ceremony sucked.
And one more thing I'd like to add. I thought the towels were a dud. I wasn't there, but on TV,
That's a strong disagree from this guy who was here. I would say between 60 and 70% of the entire crowd had towels.
Barely showed up on TV.
Right. And
well, I don't think they're going to show.
I'm not surprised at all.
When people have the towels, aren't they waving them?
Yeah.
Well, so I think...
I saw them during field goals, but it was like half the section.
Well, see, this is the problem, right? Is that people, I think instead of waving them, which they probably should have done,
people held
them up because it was the face on it, right? So they had the face, so they were trying to show the face instead of waving them, which shows up more. Because if you're waving them, think about it, you're waving them, it shows up more when you're waving them, and people weren't necessarily waving them. We don't wave towels. It's not what we do. We just don't do that. We're not fucking Pittsburgh. We don't wave towels. It's just like...
You guys wave towels.
No, we don't.
Playoff games,
I used
to wipe my seat.
We get towels. We don't wave them. Towels, right? I hang them up in my classroom and stuff, but we don't wave them at games, right? So it was like a waste, but at the same time, it was pretty awesome to see like the entire crowd. And, you know, you see some pictures where it's like 60 to 70% of the entire crowd, you know, had the towels up and had everything going on. And Goodell walks out. Now, Goodell, of course.
What a puss.
Just an absolute puss bag, dude. Shows up early.
He comes up looking good. I'm with Felger. I'm not like being a troll, but Felger said it the other day. He
I kind of agree with.
Goodell comes out looking good, and the Patriots look like idiots.
He's signing a new deal for like $150 million,
right.
Basically.
I mean, I guess, right? But...
And I read an article, too.
The Patriots didn't
Shaughnessy
do anything. Wait, but the Patriots... What did the Patriots do?
They made them look like idiots. The Patriots fans, then.
Okay, well, the Patriots fans... Well, you know what? Goodell, you still haven't fucking answered for anything. You still haven't done anything. You haven't answered. You showed up. You were there 30 seconds before the game, and then you were there... No, it was an hour. I was in my seat 45 minutes to an hour before the game, and you were nowhere to be found already. You were there like an hour to an hour and a half early before the game. You walked around, you shook some hands, and you got the hell out of there. As far as I'm concerned, that's not you going to the game. That's you showing up and then leaving. And that's just, that's nothing.
He was there during the game.
Maybe he was.
Yeah.
But guess how many times I saw him? Zero. Yeah. So as far as I'm concerned, he might as well not been. That's the way I feel. Okay. Now, maybe you showed him on the, you know, maybe
they showed him
like
on TV.
Hiding in the back.
He was kind of in the back.
Oh, that's shocking. Yeah, hiding in the back so no one would see him. Like, you know, I mean, but that's the way it goes. And he doesn't want the response from the Patriots. And here's the deal. He knows the fans are right. He knows they are. So he's never going to answer for what he did because he knows that in the end, he's wrong and he's never going to admit that he's wrong. And so he'll never, ever, ever admit to the Patriots fans that he was wrong.
We'll get into the flake.
It is the owners, I know. It is the owners. You're right, but...
But I think this was kind of unnecessary, the towels and all that, is because wasn't the moment the Super Bowl when he hands the Lombardi over to
yeah, it was, Kraft, but
and he gets all the boos, and then you hear the, yeah, like.
When well, it was, but at the same time, I mean, imagine if they had showed him, just imagine for a second, if they had actually had the balls to show him on the screen, which, by the way, the Patriots did not. They refused to, and I wish they had, but imagine if the Patriots had the balls to show him on the field, or show him on the screen, and then NBC would never done it anyways, but imagine if they had the balls to show him on the screen, and they just show the entire crowd, and the entire fucking crowd has got those teal flags, and we're holding up these teal flags with his clown nose face on it, and we're like waving them around and yelling about Rodgers, and the whole stadium is covered in teal. That would have been unbelievable, dude. And they just didn't let it happen, which is whatever.
I think it's fun, but yeah, I kind of got over it when they won the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I was kind of done with it. Like, it's fun, I guess, but yeah, and then Goodell still won. Like, we still lost the draft pick, and Brady was gone for 4 games, and he still can just literally do whatever he wants because the Players Union's a bunch of fucking morons and gave him that power. But, you know, we won the Super Bowl. I'm done. Like, I want it to be over.
I just think, like, Boston fans should be above, like, stuff like that, I guess. I don't know.
I guess. But, again, no team has ever lost a first-round draft pick since, like, 1982. And the Patriots have lost two. Two now. They were fined the most any team's ever been fined ever in the history of the NFL for something that they still haven't proved that happened. And again, I said before, when we talk about Deflategate, I'll prove to you that it didn't happen. I'll prove to you that it didn't happen. It's that simple. I can prove it. It didn't happen. It doesn't matter. So whatever. So that's fine. I'm just telling you it did not happen. I'm totally 100% convinced that it did not happen. There's so many reasons why it didn't happen that I think the evidence is stronger against it happening than the evidence is for it happening. I really do. I really feel that way. And, you know, and it's something that's been ignored by the media because the media wants to side with the NFL. That's what they want to do. And so that's what they're going to do. Like, that's, and I understand that. Like, that's the media, the NFL pays their bills.
Right.
So I get it. You want to side with the NFL. But the fact of the matter is that you're on the Patriots side. I'm sorry. What happened to the Broncos when they illegally went over the salary cap during their two Super Bowl wins? Did they lose a draft pick? Did they lose a first round draft pick? I don't believe so. I think they lost like a third round draft pick or a fourth round draft pick, and they got fined like $200,000. Maybe. It may have not even been that much. So you look at it and you say, don't you think that might have been a little bit worse than what the Patriots did because they're cheating the system? You have a salary cap in place saying this is the most you can spend, and they intentionally went above and beyond the salary cap. And not only did they do that, but they hid that money until 3 years later? Like, come on. I mean, I'm sorry, but, like, I think that's a bigger deal than Deflategate or Spygate. And they both of those got more punishment than the Broncos.
I think Bountygate is the worst of all of them.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Personally. So you're Bounty's literally trying to, like, take away guys' like well-being.
Yes. Yeah. And they took away, what, a second round? Now, I know they suspended Sean Payton for a year, but, like, you know, I mean, as they should have. But they took away a second round pick, right? So they fucked the Saints as well. So it is what it is. I mean, you know, it's everyone's going to feel that way, but I'm sorry. You know, we know what happened. The other 31 owners said the Patriots are too good, and we need to tell our fan bases that, you know, there's a reason we lose because the Patriots cheat. That's literally what happened. That's what happened. And that's why we're talking about Deflategate and Spygate still, because that's the message. Because our teams suck and your teams are good, and there has to be a reason for that. It can't be that I hired an incompetent coach or GM. That can't be the reason. The reason is the Patriots cheat and we don't cheat. So that's why they win and we don't. I mean, it's really that simple. I mean, if you look at it, it makes perfect sense, you know?
Jim Irsay, man. Irsay and the Ravens. Irsay with the Colts and then the Ravens, too. Yeah, whole sting operation.
Yep, so... Anyways, all right. So enough of that because we will talk Deflategate because we have to do that, but not yet. Okay, so
should do a little at a time, like once a week.
Big market tease minutes. There.
Yeah, I mean that's okay. So all right, let's end this episode. Let's do this week in sports.
I want to ask a question, but we don't have time.
Do it.
Why did Brady destroy the phone?
Oh God, he didn't. No, I don't. I don't know. No, I believe he did. I don't know. I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know. You know, I mean, maybe he just felt like he got really pissed and fucking smashed it. I have no idea. That I don't have an answer for, but I also don't think that proves that he was the mastermind behind a criminal.
That's a smoking gun.
No, it's not, though.
Red herring.
It's not. It is. That's exactly what it is. It's a red herring.
They should have been looking at his laptop.
I mean, they could look at anything. Dude, that shit is saved. All of his information is saved. You think it's just on his phone? Yeah. Like, it's not just on his phone. Like, they provided pages and pages and pages of text messages. You know, like, and you could say, oh, something was on his phone. What the hell was on his phone? What could have possibly been on his phone?
More Dorito Dink stuff.
You know what I mean? Like, but, and that's Brady. So what's he doing? Sending text messages to someone else? Don't you have someone else's phone? If you have someone else's phone, wouldn't you have the text message that Brady sent to that person? I don't understand. Like, that doesn't make sense to me. If he sent a text message to someone else and you have their phone, why the hell do you need Brady's phone?
Maybe he has a sordid love affair with Edelman.
Ooh. Maybe. That's possible. You never know. Maybe he's cheating on Giselle. I don't know. Like, I have no idea. Like, what the hell difference does it make to me? But what I'm saying to you, Mike, if we have a conversation and I'm looking at my phone, is it just what I wrote is on my phone?
No.
No.
It'd be what I wrote and what you
right.
wrote.
Right. So, like, if I don't want to give my phone over and you give your phone over, it doesn't really matter whether I give my phone over or not because they can see my end of the conversation. Mm. So, like, you know, that, as I already said, red herring. Not a smoking gun, the red herring. Anyways, good question, though. We'll get back to that. We should just have a fucking bye week. Patriots bye week. That's it. That's okay. The one. That's Patriots bye week. You got to wait. You got to wait, fellas. People, I don't want to generalize here. I hope there are women listening as well. We encourage women listeners. And so, you know, hopefully you'll be listening. And during the Patriots bye week, we will have a Deflategate special. That's a good call. I like that. All right, so we'll go to this week in sports history. I will do them chronologically as I do everything, because why not? September 14th, 1868. Tom Morris recorded the first hole-in-one ever. Well, the first recorded hole-in-one, at least, in Prestwick in Scotland, which I think still exists, on the eighth hole.
Yes.
So, if you go to Scotland, you play Prestwick, you play the eighth hole, maybe you can hit a hole-in-one too, and you can be the most recent. Holy shit. Imagine if you were the most recent recorded hole-in-one. On the hole where the first recorded hole-in-one is, that'd be pretty sick. I could check that one off my bucket list. That'd be awesome. Mm. Never hit a hole-in-one before, but you know.
You just sit out there for like four days just whacking balls.
I mean, it'd take longer than 4 days. It'd be like 4 months.
He did the ceremonial first drive at the British Open this year.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Tom Morris?
Still kicking, Tom.
Oh, wow, okay, all right. 78 years old. I feel like that might not be true. So
those Scots, man.
So, that's a good point. That's a good point. All that
whiskey and haggis.
Not whiskey, scotch. Like, hello, you know what I mean? Sorry. So, all right, September 12th, 1930. Brooklyn Dodgers catcher, Brooklyn Dodgers, yes, not the LA Dodgers, but the Brooklyn Dodgers. Their catcher, Al Lopez, hits the last bounce home run. You're like, what? Oh, the bounce home run is because people used to make the fences. And I don't mean they used to build the fences. I mean people would stand in the outfield and that would be the fence. And if it hit them, it would be a home run, whether it was in the air or on a bounce. And so Al Lopez hit one way the frig out and bounced and hit a guy, and that was a home run.
It's like Little League rules. If it rolls past the tree, it's
like the most unbelievable thing. I mean, it's 1930. It's not even that long. I mean, it's a long time ago, but it's not like that long ago.
Mm. You know? Some of those old-timey pictures was people standing like top coats and tight ass. Right. Just like in their Sunday best.
Imagine you. Yeah. They should do that again. That should be like a... Oh, dude, I just solved baseball's problem. I just solved all of baseball's problems. That should be like the All-Star game. Should be like...
Fans in the outfield.
Like 600 feet. like the outfield is 600 feet. Imagine how much you could sell a ticket for that.
Oh, man.
You get to stand front row in the outfield. You are the fence. Are you kidding me?
They give you a helmet and they get to play with aluminum bats.
Too. Oh, that'd be awesome. Yeah. Are you kidding me? Shut up. Okay.
Beef ball. The A's are, next season, the A's are doing, they're having a free game.
Free?
Yeah.
Like they're not
Anyone
charging
tickets.
No,
they're not charging tickets because it's against the White Sox.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
That's the two worst teams in the American League and they just want people to come.
No, they're not. Yeah. That can't be true.
Yeah, the game's for free.
They've
already
announced that they have a free
schedule
game.
Schedule came out yesterday, yeah.
I know, but like they just said this game is free. We're not going to charge you?
Yeah.
Holy shit, dude. The A's must really suck.
We should go start camping out for tickets.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
It's a good idea. Like people for the iPhone. They've been waiting. They're in line for like 3 weeks.
Free A's White Sox tickets. Lord.
Yeah. Oh, man, for the A's White Sox tickets. They're like, yeah, that's 9 months from now, sir. I know. No, I got you. You know, we're fine. Hey, it's Oakland. Doesn't really get cold there, so we'll be all right. And then lastly, we have September 16th, 1973. OJ the Juice was loose. He ran for 250 yards and 2 touchdowns against the Patriots. This was back in the 70s when the Bills used to beat the Patriots. Which no longer happens. But, you know, it used to happen, and that was, you know, back when OJ...
He weakly shot at Buffalo.
I couldn't get through it. Listen, we haven't made fun of the Red Sox yet, so I had to get Buffalo.
Did you see the people got married at Bill's tailgate?
Did they really?
Yeah.
And they promptly...
They jump through a flaming table. Who get married at a Bill's tailgate look. Yeah.
Oh, hey. My God.
Bill's Mafia, man.
Yeah, you know. Maniacs. Yes, they are. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, that was that. So, OJ not in the Mafia, just a murderer. So, you know, a little connection to the Bill's Mafia there. A
couple weeks, like Mike said.
Yep, the juice will be loose.
A few weeks, man. Holy shit, he can kill more people. Steal more shit.
So, Double Jeopardy.
That's only if he kills Nicole Simpson
and Ronald Goldman again.
That was a good movie with Ashley Judd, right? Because she was convicted of killing her husband, and then she killed her husband again, and it was like, dude. You know, Tommy Lee Jones is like, bro, sorry, I just spoiled the ending for you, but, I mean, it's a pretty old movie, so I don't really feel like I spoiled
good
it for
flick,
you.
Yeah.
He's like, bro, she can kill you because she already killed you, so I can't do anything. You know what I mean? Like, that was a solid movie. So Ashley Judd was height of her prime. Height of her prime?
Oh, yeah.
Height of her powers, I guess you could say at that point. So, anyways, so that's it. We do have one more thing in history here, and I just want to recognize it. Our good friend Artie Januario is moving to Texas.
You guys.
And so I just have a little, you know, I thought it was appropriate, especially with the intro today. I thought it was appropriate, so you know, this is maybe a little audio of what might be going on right now.
Just slid my ticket across the table and I said, sorry guys, I gotta see about a girl.
I gotta go see about a girl?
Yeah.
That's what you said?
I had.
And they let you get away with that?
Oh yeah, they saw in my eyes that I meant it.
So.
Son of a bitch stole my life.
So yeah, we're letting him get away with it, man. He's moving down to Austin, Texas. And,
going
to
get the girl.
We're never going to see him ever again, but that's okay.
Probably
not. We'll see him again.
Once you get down to Austin, Texas, you won't want to leave. I fell in love with it. It's donuts and dogs and coffee and cheap rent, and it's
great
awesome.
Place,
man. Yeah, it's awesome. So heading down there Monday, making the drive, stopping in Morgantown, West Virginia, then in Memphis.
Nice.
I am 4 miles away from Graceland, so I'm going to have to make that stop, obviously, just to say I did. But no, I mean, it's going to be a trip, man. It's hasn't really hit me yet, but I'm excited. I can't wait to get down there and go get her, so it's gonna be great.
It'll be fun.
Excited. Yeah,
it'll be fun. We're happy for you, and we'll miss you, but
I'll call in and bug you.
Yeah, there you go, you know. Yeah.
I'll FaceTime in.
That'll be good. We'll enjoy that. So that's it. That's all we got for the show. We'll be back next week with episode
any warrior one
with episode 21. What
the warrior one to watch. Did we do that this week?
Oh, fuck, I was just gonna do away with the warrior on the watch, but
I like that.
Well, yeah, but like, but it's just gonna be like a random NFL game.
No, the warrior on the watch is supposed to be the obscure games you're not really watching.
Know,
right. We've been ignoring the Stampeders for one thing.
We have been. We have
no idea how they're doing
Stampeders.
Now.
We have no clue.
There's a big fight Saturday. Triple G against.
Oh, Triple G against Canelo.
Yeah.
Okay. Forget fucking Mayweather McGregor.
Yeah,
this
will be a real
is,
fight.
This is
yeah.
the fight of the
wait,
year.
Wait, hold on. Wait a second. Wait a second.
MSG too.
We can't leave that. We have to like fucking go back and like start it over again.
Right. Oh, this is good.
No, we can't leave it like this.
This is gold, man. Podcasting gold.
We're like, oh, I thought we weren't doing that anymore. No, we should totally do that. Oh yeah. Oh okay. Yeah, sure. All right. There you go. See, look at that. This is like professionals only here. All right, so the Calgary Stampeders are 9-1-1
nice.
Then. Crushing it. Steel. Crushing it. So last time we checked in on them, they had beaten the Tiger Cats 60-1.
Good. 60-1?
60-1.
You can score one.
Apparently,
yeah,
Rouge. Yes.
Rouge.
Yep. Apparently, you weren't listening that week there, Artie. So since then, they've beaten the Argonauts 41-24, I'm sorry. The Lions 21-17. That's a really like weird name to have for the CFL. It's like normal.
BC Lions.
Good point. Yep, that's true.
British Columbia,
of course. The Argonauts again 23-7. The Eskimos 39-18, and the Eskimos again. They have back-to-back games against the Eskimos on Monday and then Saturday, 25-22. They beat the Eskimos twice in a row, and they're playing the Lions this Saturday night at 7 o'clock, probably on one of those Canadian channels that we don't get. Like
or ESPN2, because they show them.
Could be. Or the Ocho. You never know. They had the Ocho for a week, and that was awesome. That a
thing.
But you know,
they should just be permanent.
It would be awesome, wouldn't it? So they're 9-1-1. They are number one in the West Division, and behind them is the Blue Bombers at 8-3. So they got a pretty good, pretty solid record here. They started out 7-1-1, and they've won. They started out 2-1-1, and they've won 7 straight. So they're killing it right now. They're
East Division sucks.
The East Division blows. In case you're wondering, the number one of the East Division is the Red Blacks, who are 4-7-1.
Yee.
The Argonauts are also in the East Division. They are 4-7. And the Tiger Cats are also in the East Division. They're 2-8. And the Alouettes are there, and they're 3-8 as well. The Tiger Cats, the team aforementioned, who the Stampeders beat 60-1. They're playing the Tiger Cats again later on in the year, which should be interesting. So, matter of fact, 1 month from today, October 13th, and which I believe is a Friday. I believe that's a Friday.
No, it's a, yeah, it is a Friday.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, Friday the 13th in October.
Oh, boy.
Look out. Look out. Mm-hmm. So, that's interesting. And Mike's birthday is on a Saturday, so I'm sure we're going to throw a rager of a party for that. Absolutely. Definitely not. But, you know, I mean, one of those things. So, so that's it. That's that. Now, that's actually the end of the episode. Yeah.
A couple of false starts.
A few false starts in there. As you can see, this is a professionals-only podcast. We would never make a mistake.
Uh-huh.
Not only that, if we made a mistake, we would absolutely 100% edit it out and wouldn't talk about editing it out and not actually edit it out. That would never happen. So thanks for listening, and you know, we will try to keep up the professionalism for you.
And next week, we'll dig deep into the 2001 Patriots.
Right. Little tease right there for you. 2001 Patriots. We'll do a little deep dive for you. Since spoiler alert, our This Week in Sports History next week may include the Mo Lewis destruction of Tom Brady, and in the process creating the Patriots dynasty. So
destruction of Drew Bledsoe.
Who did I say?
Tom Brady.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh boy.
Holy shit. I swear to God, if Tom Brady gets injured this year, this fucking week.
Well, I said last week if they lose, it's your fault. So. He just got a bag.
He did in my Madden season, Brady.
No, I hate you. Don't even say it. Don't even say it. Brady's not getting injured. It's not going to happen. They're going 18-1.
Dislocated elbow. Is that even like a real...
That happens.
Yeah, it can pop.
It does happen.
Yeah.
How long are you usually out for that?
Like your life. Oh. No. Maybe not your life, but it's not much shorter than that. I would say it's probably a full year. Depends on which elbow it is, I would imagine.
5 weeks.
If you... 5 weeks, that's it?
Yeah.
It must have been his non-throwing elbow.
Yeah.
In this made-up, fictional Madden world, of course. But, you know. Anyways, we're done. We're actually done now. We're done talking about fake football games. And, yeah, we will see you next week if you still decide to listen. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.